Okay, great. Welcome everyone to the last FCCLLP meeting of the year. I don't really have any news because we've had a few meetings lately and not much has changed. So if you want to see the latest, look at the last meeting, which was just a week ago, to see my news. But in general, let me know if you want to give a presentation in January. You don't have to tell me, even in the next weeks, you can tell me in January. And maybe after the dust settles a week or two into January, maybe I should send around a poll and still see if this is the best time for everyone who's wanting to connect to these meetings. Because I'm not sure it's ideal. But then again, there won't be one time that is perfect for everyone. Maybe people's schedules changes in the new year. Okay. So any sort of general news or comments, or should we jump into the meat of the meeting? Okay, I'm not hearing anything. So if not, then Gail, are you giving the talk?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, I think I will share my screen.
Perfect. Great. I'm sorry. We have two talks today, one from Gail and one from Patricia. So, hopefully we can split the meeting between these two topics.
Can you see the slides?
Yes, they're full screen.
Okay. So I will present you a study of heavy neutral lepton with CLD full simulation. Our objectives are to define different geometries and design options of vertex detector. We are interested in tracking, vertexing, feather tagging, and full analysis. We choose full simulation to have more precise results, and we use the CLD detector. The CLD tracker is made of a vertex detector with three double layers pixel and a full silicon tracker. There is several CLD geometries. We are interested in these two, the O1V4 and the O2V5. The difference between them is that O2V5 has a smaller and more realistic beam pipe and adapted vertex detector. But O2V5 is a corrected version of previous one, O2V2, who was bugged, causing a very bad tracks reconstruction. So O2V5 should be used instead. The previous talk we gave on HNL with CLD full simulation was done with this bug geometry. And we recently find a reconstruction issue with O2O5. It is now corrected. But for this study, we use the O1V4 geometry. We are interested to study long-lived particles. We choose the heavy neutral lepton model because it has been studied in this paper. So we took the same model, and it will allow us for comparison with FastSim. The HNL were generated with Magraph and simulation reconstruction with CLD full simulation with 50K events. This is example of file size from simulation and reconstruction, but this is highly dependent on vertices displacement and electron energy. The Ricco Monte Carlo matching in FCC analysis is dedicated to FastSim and does not work for full simulation. But it is quite easy to implement the delta matching, and this is what we used. As selection, we want electron with minimum p decays, exactly two opposite signs electron, and a d electron invariant mass incompatible with the Z bosons. And we attempt to reconstruct vertex from electron pairs. This is electron p-t distribution. In blue, the generated distribution, and in red, the reconstructed distribution, and this are the normalized distribution. The shape of reconstructing electrons p-t match the gen distribution, while the normalization is lower, so we need to investigate the electron reconstruction efficiency. And we have some simulation issues to simulate displaced vertexes. The Arsenal vertexes were simulated at interaction points, so not displaced. We have tried with FMC2 format with McGraw, but simulation is compatible with FMC3. As McGraw is not interfaced with FMC3, the solution we generate LHC event with McGraw and then run PeachHide standalone to produce FMC3 file. But the simulation of displaced vertex requires status code 2 from VHNL while it is a status 22 out of PTR. So we used a script to change by hand the status in FMC3, and we were finally able to simulate displaced vertexes. So this is the generate displacement of vertexes, and this is an example for 50 GeV HNL. In blue, the generated displacement, and in red, the reconstructed displacement, and here, the normalized displacement. And we can see a drop of efficiency after 10 centimeters. This is comparison. So top plots are CLD full simulation and bottom plots the idea of sim. We see difference in generated impulsion and also for generated theta for 90J HNL. Maybe this is due to differences in ISR between full sim and fast sim. This is the G-electron invariant mass, the generated and reconstructed. They are similar except for reconstructed for 30 GHNL, but this is the case with the largest displacement. And this is the vertex displacement. So the full syngen level is similar to the reconstructed level in fast simulation, and this is the reconstructed displacement from full simulation. And we can see a large deficit of tracks at high displacement. The tracking efficiency might drop as a function of displacement. The top plot is vertex pull for X position for all reconstructed vertex. So we can see a resolution on position for reconstructed vertex between 20 and 30 microns. This is a cut flow with bin 0 no selection, bin 1 at least one electron, and bin 2 exactly two opposite sign electron. And we clearly see that the longer the HNL lead, the lower the electron efficiency is. To sum up, the method to generate HNL events with correct displacement was implemented and tested. We did a reproduction of fast sim analysis. The generation match expect for impulsion and theta for 90 GeV HNL. The next steps will be to study displaced tracks vertex reconstruction efficiency to generate machinal benchmark points and backgrounds, and to study the impact of tracker geometry on physics performance. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Gael. Okay, this is definitely quite interesting to see. I have some questions, but maybe others do already. Also, are there questions or comments? Okay, maybe while people are thinking about them, can you go back to slide 7? Yeah, so here for the reconstructed displacement, I feel like here is where things start to go wrong, and everything else that you're seeing stems from that. So to me, this looks like the reconstruction is just not, I mean, well, perhaps I can't tell from the middle plot. Is the like early bin, are the early, like the first bin, does Monte Carlo and reconstruction match in the middle plot? I can't tell where the first bin is.
No, the first game is this one for reconstructed level.
Okay, so you're getting even much less reconstructed, like prompt of,
Yes.
you know, particles as well. So it's not the, well, the efficiency for for reconstructing electrons in general, somewhat regardless of displacement, but also definitely at higher displacements, is not good.
If I can
Yeah,
comment on
please.
this,
I'm just thinking out loud.
for sure. We tested also look at the electron reconstruction efficiency in TT-bar events because it's easier to interpret. Probably we should have look at the 2E at some point, but okay. In TT-bar events, the indeed the electron reconstruction efficiency is a little bit lowish. I think asking for 2 electrons gives you an event efficiency of 80%, 80. So it's not that high, it's not that low neither for prompt electrons. I think one has to look into the Pandora reconstruction because I'm not sure there is a dedicated reconstruction for electrons there, while we know that we need to account for Bremsstrahlung and these sort of things. So it might not be super optimal, but for sure does not explain the loss of efficiency you see here as a function of displacement.
Yeah, to me it's clear that there's multiple problems. Like the lack of reconstructing electrons, regardless of displacement, and then on top of it at large displacements as well, it's even worse. So, yeah, maybe we need to show this to CLD experts or RICO experts and see what they if they think this is actually at least for the prompt electrons if this is expected.
So we're in discussion already with André and Leonard about
Okay.
these differences.
Okay.
I think the prompt electron efficiency is not that high, but it's not a catastrophe neither. I mean, 90% for a single electron is kind of the low side, but it's manageable from an analysis point of view for at least early tests. Now we tend to think that the tracking algorithm is not well adapted for displaced vertices because in the conformal tracking actually the tracks are assumed to come from the primary vertex. This is one of the building block of the conformal tracking, and then on top of that you can use a cellular automaton to compensate for other stuff like multiple scattering or whatever. But even the seeding only is taken from, as far as I have understood so far, is using only the pixel, the vertex detector, meaning that if you have a displaced a vertex or long-lived particle that decays beyond the vertex detector volume, you don't see it at all. Which can explain why starting to I don't know 20 centimeters, 15 centimeters, you have no tracks at all at the end. So my feeling, but to be checked, is that it's a tracking inefficiency for displaced tracks, and this is what we're trying to understand right now.
Okay, great. On the other hand, in looking at the right plot on here on slide 7, you're getting a sharp drop off already at like 10 centimeters, so.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if again you have this in backup, but you have the displaced distribution RICO overlaid for all the benchmark masses, and you see indeed that at some point you get different shape, and then all the shape is similar for all the masses because you don't reconstruct anything anymore.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty clear.
Which one? This one?
Actually, the RICO vertex, poof, poof, slide 12, for example. Not too, okay, I don't have the right version of the slides open. So the sorry for that. The vertex reconstruction. Yes, this one.
Yeah, but at least in the log scale, it's a small, somewhat slow drop off rather than sharp. No?
Yes, actually, it depends on the, of course, on the decay length. For 19 GV, for example, it's a Dirac distribution. So to say, so there we reconstruct most of the vertices, if not all. But then you get a longer and longer displacement, and then at some point the okay, given the statistics we have, the red and the black looks at the end
That's
closer.
true,
So as
indeed.
the more the displacement is, the more inefficiency you get.
Yeah, for sure.
But then I have a question also for people who use the fast team. So I should probably know. I don't know, but the fast team, does it account for tracking inefficiency or just resolutions?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I see here a potential limitation of the fast simulation. In fact, okay,
Sure.
for sure we need to solve the problem in CLD, but there are some algorithmic effect that might not be totally well reproduced
Sure,
in.
sure.
I have a question.
I noticed one other quick thing and then I'll shut up. The plots say no selection. Are there any selections applied to these plots? Maybe we need to go into some like, oh, but you required at least 5 GeV for the electrons, right?
Yes, because
Okay,
yes,
okay.
this is the only selection.
Okay. Okay, Alan.
I have a question. I have two questions. The first one is CLD, or the click detector, certainly has the software for doing event displays. Have you tried to do event displays of these events to see what happened? Well, in which cases misreconstructions happen? I think
Not yet.
you run the event display at once, but we did not go through it in much details. This is but what we're trying to do is to do our own event displays, like looking at the position of the hits basically, and see if we have hits but no tracks, something like this. This is what currently we are trying to do.
Right.
But yeah, for sure, spotting bad events and look at event displays might help.
The other thing concerning displaced vertices for particles which are that heavy is that they will not be on time. That is, the tracks will have a displacement in time, which is because the particle has beta equals 0.5 or something. So typically there are several nanoseconds of delay. So this might be a very, very a good way of selecting them independently of the decay mode, which is always a good thing to know, because you can be inclusive in the selection.
Yes,
Is it?
we need a good timing measurement.
But the simulation must give you the timing, no? The full sim.
I don't know. I would have to check.
Yeah, I'm sure it is stored. It must be stored somewhere.
Yeah, it would make sense indeed.
And that would be fascinating, because this is one of the things that we in that paper that you quoted, it's one of the things which is mentioned, that the timing actually measure, because it's a two-body Z decay, the timing actually measures the mass of the particle that is produced.
So, what is available, or I mean, I'm wondering what could be available. The time for the electron to reach the start of the calorimeters, or
It depends on the detector you have, but certainly if you have a it depends on the design of the detector. These are big, big delays because the particles are very slow. So, you know, normally silicon, the new silicon vertex, which this new silicon, which is used for the low angle detectors in LHC, as I'm told, it is a 30 picosecond timing precision on the hits. But I'm sure this is too good for what you need, but it would be good just to start by finding out where that time is on the records, plot them, and from these plots determine which is the performance as a function of the timing resolution that you put, and then see if one can build a detector which has that timing resolution. I don't think we, these detectors are not built yet, so we, yeah, there's no need to ask people what timing resolution they have put, because they will say whatever comes up their brains. This is a study to determine what is needed.
Yeah. Alan, did you have another question? Or
I think,
oh, sorry,
that were,
maybe
those were
Jeremy
two questions
wanted
already.
To... Okay. So, other questions or comments? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Thanks a lot, KL. Then I think we can go to the second and final contribution for today from Patricia.
Hi, Juliette. Okay, so I will share my screen. Okay.
Awesome.
Do you see my screen?
Yes. And
okay, sorry. Okay, so I would like to present you this analysis that I have been performing. It's quite a long time, but because of COVID, so many things, so it was delayed a bit. But well, now we have submitted to PRD, and I will show you more details. This is based, so the analysis is concerning the action-like particles, okay, in the FCC electron-positron. So the motivations for action-like particles, it's already well known, okay, so it can solve the CP problem. It's a very good dark matter candidate, a mediator for the acceptor. So we have this pseudo number, it is a pseudo number Goldstone boson, okay? So, and also it can solve the anomaly of the muon anomaly, okay? So also it's very interesting when we check in the INSPIRE, the development of papers, yeah, about action-like particles. So we see an increase during the last years, the last 13 years, sharp increase, okay? So in this figure, you can see more or less in a general overview where each problem, yeah, each proposal for axions is located. Okay, so we are basically, let me see one thing. I don't know. We are basically concentrated in colliders, searchers. So it is, but it gives you a general overview about the status. Okay, so in this analysis, I focus it on idea detector, okay? The production of axion-like particles via photon fusion, okay? So it is concentrated, so as you can see the diagrams. So it is the out signal over the light by light background. So both were generated in Super Chic, okay, Monte Carlo. That is specifically, it's a Monte Carlo generator dedicated for this sort of signals. I used Delph's idea. Then I did a fast simulation in Delph is using Pitya processing and, well, assuming at that time, yeah, when I produced the realistic FCC environment conditions, okay? I will try to just a comment, parenthesis. So I have just to check in Delphi's, there is also a CLD card available. It was updated a few months ago, so maybe I will try it later, okay, to check if there is any difference and if I can get more results about it. So as I told you before, we are interested in this region, in the colliders regions. So, and in this not covered in this in blue here. Okay, so what could we achieve with the photon fusion in the FCC in this blue region, in the relatively heavy out region? So out mass bigger than dot one GeV. Okay, so for that, we choose a benchmark coupling of dot one TV minus inverse TV. And we produced the samples for different center of mass in the FCC run, also scanning the mass range, different mass range up to the in the mass according to the energy threshold. Okay, so doing that, we also assumed up to date parameters for FCC running. So these are the parameters for the energies and luminosities, integrated luminosities for the FCC runnings. So we see in run one, run two, depending on the center mass energy, okay? As an example, and also because this is the Z pole and it would be the first run, yeah, of the FCC. I added some numbers here for you, for your knowledge. So it is in the paper also. And you see here the mass for 91 GV, so in the Z pole, using 204 autobahn, inverse autobahn with integrated luminosity. And you see here the detector efficiency. So the yields, out yields are huge, okay? Of course, the light by light too, but you see it decreases according the mass point, okay? We use the to calculate the significance, the usual formula, and also the parameter of interest based on the frequentist limit, asymptotic limits, to get the upper limit for the couplings and for the cross sections. Okay, so we, as you can read here, so we computed in the same way, of course, for all runs, all run scenarios, and for all luminosities from dot one to 360, around 365 GV. Okay. So after this computation, as I told you, we got the expected upper limit for cross-section, as you can see here. So we have the bandwidth, the Brazilian plots, 68% and 95% expected for different lumisections and energies. So just a comment. So we did also all this calculation for the International Linear Collider. Okay, if you want, we can check in the paper. And what we got? Yeah. So in general, yeah. So FCC bounds are better than any other current and future experiment. Okay. So you see here for our channel, the photon fusion. We check that there are very prominent limits for upsurges in our mass range. And we can see here the couplings. So from minus two, 10 minus two to 10 minus three inverse TV. Okay, so we see different colors for different energies here. So it is very prominent. It's the most stringent limits for the couplings up to 10 minus 3. Of course, that is also the alternative channel as the electron with the usual electron-positron collision producing the Z. So this is very, it was analyzed by Bauer. So this is a favorite channel because of the large Z production for this center of mass energy, and also a tiny three Z to three photons background. So we see that it goes down up to it goes down to 10 minus 5 inverse TeV for this channel. But even so it is, so both are more or less complementing each other, okay? Because maybe you see here when we reach higher masses, so the FCC, the photon fusion, it behaves better than the electron positron channel. Okay, so you see the yellow, it is behind here, but you see that we have better behavior. We also computed the displaced vertex, so using the average out transverse decay length from different values, 30 millimeters, 1 centimeters, and 2 meters. And we see here this line. So this is we computed both for our channel, photon fusion, and for the alternative channel, electron positron, Z production, maybe. So we see here in this line. So most of the photon fusion production will be in this region, so up to 1 centimeter. So it would be indistinguishable from the primary vertex. On the other hand, this is for the Z production, so for the electron positron to Z and then decay, it would reach a good scenario for getting the secondary vertex, because as you see here, in this black line. So we have most of this production up to 2 meters, actually more than 2 meters for different masses, out masses. So in this channel, we could check, we could see the secondary vertices, okay? So so in general, is that, so there are more results in the paper, as I told you, with the IAC. And so our conclusions are that, so action-like particles are very good candidates for many extensions of the standard model. Okay, so mainly because it is a good candidate for dark matter, and we see many papers in the web about it. Yeah, we did the feasibility studies produced by photon fusion. So we did a full analysis from hard skating to the detector simulation. Actually, we have presented this analysis in the past in one of the FCC workshops, but with the hard skating only, so parton level, then we move it to the detector simulation. We did it for different mass points, energies, and integrated luminosities. We see that the FCC operation at this Z-pole, because of the huge integrated luminosity, can offer an exceptional opportunity to discover ALPS within the mass window from lower, even lower than dot one, but well, dot one to 92, so the threshold in the energy. Okay. We have the couplings in both scenarios are much better than the current limits at particle colliders. Okay. Even better in the when we are dealing with the Z production. Okay. So we see that somehow the photon fusion will complement the Z searches for masses greater than 91 GeV, as we could check in the plot. Okay. So that's it. As I told you, I will try to check other detectors. So I didn't have access to CLD and also the other proposals for detectors. And we follow with other checks for this the same channel. Okay. In other collider scenarios. Okay, I hope to give you news as soon as possible about it.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Questions? Maybe I can start with one. So yeah, I was you showed us some tables and the limit plots, but I was wondering if you had any distributions. Maybe they're in the paper of how the signal and the background look in the detector. I was wondering.
Yes, I have. So do you see this slide? Do you see it still? Huh? It is in the paper, so I didn't add. So in the paper, you can see the distributions. So here,
okay,
the yeah. So here you see the invariant mass. This is only a fit. Okay, so it is just to emphasize the signal over the background. Here you see the PT, the transverse momentum, the angle and also the acoplanarity. Okay. We see that these photons are very collimated for high masses, for low masses, as expected, it was already pointed. So we can confirm that. So this is for 50 GeV. So for, no, sorry. This is for, yeah. Yes, for 50, yeah. For 50 GeV. So I just add two mass points because there are many plots about it, but we selected the most the better ones to expose the behavior. Yeah, we can see the behavior of the energy for one photon and for diphotons. So this is it was very interesting. We see the behavior of this boosted photons in high for high energy for low masses and yeah.
Okay, and I think at least this figure too is for generator level. Do you also have reconstructed level?
Yes.
How do they compare?
Yeah. This is for generator, yeah, but I didn't add all figures for, this is for reconstruction for 50. So I just add the invariant mass. But so if you want, I can show you later the other figures for the reconstruction. I just shown the reconstruction for the invariant mass with the delphs.
Okay, I was just curious in general how well the reconstructed and the generated agree. As you saw in the previous talk, you know, there could be some issues for.
Yes, it's okay. Okay, so I can produce, so I can enable the reconstructed the other plots for energy and no problem.
Well, I mean, if you tell me that they agree well, then no need to.
No, no, they agree, of course. No, they agree, yeah. Because
okay,
there were many, many figures, so we avoided to polluted the paper. Sure. Yes, so, and then we decided only to add the generator level, and so the reconstruction follows the same path, so the same behavior.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so you see here, so if you check in this figure four, so you see this is on the left you have the Monte Carlo generator, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the right you have the idea. So you see exactly the efficiency of the detector, because the idea starts with energy for photons greater than 2, and you see?
Mm-hmm.
So there are more plots, of course, but we only focused on this one. So in figure 3, it is a generator only, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in figure 4, I put generator on the left and the detector on the right, mm-hmm. just to show the effect of the detector.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Other questions?
So then,
oh, sorry.
Okay, so we are improving other scenarios as well. Okay. And so, as I told you, hopefully we have more results in the future. I want also to try other detectors. I have just seen in the office that CLD is available. In the past, so I tried to use key for HEP. For this analysis, and for some reason the photon fusion, this sort of signal was not working well in the framework of FCC. I don't know, so I didn't try anymore. So I don't know if it is fixed, but well, I hope to try in the future to use the framework, yeah, of FCC.
Okay.
So far, I have been doing. I am doing everything with Delphi's standalone, right? So it's not inside the FCC software.
I see. Okay, thanks. Other questions or comments? If not, I had one more. If you show the 1D limit plots again, I wondered if you could explain the behavior. I think around like 10, what was it, 10 GeV, you know, there's a sharp corner almost. Yeah, these, wait, we scrolled past it.
This is the cross section, the limits for cross section.
Yeah, sorry, this is what I meant, not 10 GeV. I was wrong, more like 0.5 GeV. What happens there?
What do you mean? This peak here?
Yes.
Well, what I notice is that, so in this region, there is a difference when, so it is a transition region when you have the photons, so the collimated photons to more separated one. So then you have a difference, you see, in the cross-section values. And these affect the parameter, the value of the parameter. So, and also, of course, I didn't compute it as a continuous, right? So maybe it's not so sharp, but so I computed for dot one and dot five and then one. So if I put more values in the middle, maybe this peak would disappear. But well, this is a problematic region because of this difference in the photon distance, right? So it the photons started to separate from dot five, right? And so it's a gray region, I would say.
Okay, I'm just curious, do you know why this happens at like 0.5 GeV? What's special at that mass?
No, nothing special.
Okay.
Just the nothing special. Just the fact that it starts for dot one, the photons are very collimated, very close, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it starts to opening for higher energies, right? For higher masses. So from dot five up to five, their coplanarity plot is it starts to be closer to. So if maybe I could check, I could start. So you see, so the coplanarity here. So for dot one, the coplanarity is you see, it should peak to zero, right? When you have a well separated photons. So what happens when you from dot one? So this is for one, right?
Mm-hmm.
For one GV. So
yep.
Even for one, it is not very, it's not peaking close to zero, right? So this behavior will go from zero dot from dot one to more or less less than 10 GV. Okay, so it is distributed. The acoplanarity is not so sharp in zero. So from then, when we go to higher, so higher than 10 GV, I have a plot with this comparison. I cannot access here now, but I have a plot with this comparison. For different masses, the differences in the acoplanarity behavior. So for instance, in this 50 GV, for mass 50 GV, we see that it's closer to zero, right? Because so the axis here is from zero to dot three, while from here for zero to one. Okay, so it's different, right?
Okay.
So this is the case. So from up to 10 GV, the photons are very close to each other, okay, from the decay, right? From the out decay, right? So the photons are relatively close, so to each other. And from 10 TV, they start to open more. Yeah. I can send to you the plot. I will add this plot with the masses comparison in GitHub for you to check.
Okay, great.
It's interesting. It is interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it's just for my understanding. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah, it is interesting because it will be important for detectors, right? So we need high granularity, a way to detect these photons if we want to reach lower masses, right? So
right.
It's something that it's already well known. It was already pointed in other papers, but well, we confirm it also in this channel.
Right. Okay. Other questions? Okay. I'm not seeing any. I didn't have any others. So thanks again, Patricia.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Of course. Okay. Any other general comments before we break for the year? Okay, thanks everyone. Have a good Christmas break and a restful time.
See you in January.
Happy New Year.
Bye, thank you.
Bye. All the best.